Hey, thanks for turning the lights on, these beautiful, new, shiny, bright lights that are in the sanctuary this morning. That all of you noticed, or some of you noticed, or now you do anyway, so that's good. It's good. It's even brighter in the dark. Yeah, it's awesome. Thanks for those who worked hard to make that happen, which is all of you, because you worked hard and you gave towards this phase of the project of getting the lights in place, and there will be new windows coming as well for energy efficiency and light and all that kind of stuff. So soon we'll all be wearing sunglasses in church on Sunday morning, so that'll be great. Well, back on the back on the first Sunday of this year, I feel like that was 3 months ago, 12 Sundays ago, roughly, I think. I said back then on that first Sunday, maybe as we walk through 2019, whether we had made resolutions or not, that we could at least perhaps resolve to know God better. I just suggested that. We could resolve to walk closer with Him. We could resolve to grow in what we said was the fullness of God, in understanding what that even means to have Jesus live, or as the Bible talks about as well, to dwell or to live in us by His Spirit. And so as we continue these 12 weeks later, as we continue in our journey to hopefully better understand and experience living in the fullness of God, we're trying to remind ourselves in these weeks, or learn a little bit about prayer. And we've been talking about that. We've considered, in our first week in this series about prayer, we considered the purpose of prayer a couple of weeks ago. Last week, we talked about the posture of prayer, how we approach, not necessarily our kneeling, sitting, standing, but how our heart attitude, our heart posture of how we approach God. Today, I want to just spend a few moments with you talking about the power of prayer. And then next week, we want to talk about persistence of prayer. We read a passage of Scripture on that first Sunday, and I'd like to read it again as we consider today the power of prayer. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul is praying. He's praying for the Christians in a place called Ephesus, and he's also praying for us, for all those down through the ages who come to know Jesus as their Savior. And here's what those verses read from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. By the way, you're probably reading through this already. That's fine. You can also find all of these notes and outline on the YouVersion app on your mobile devices, and you can download that if you want to. You can save the event, and you'll have these notes in your device there. But here is Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. For this reason, Paul writes, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Let me read that again. According to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, I just pray that you direct our hearts and minds to your word today, to what it is that you want to say to us through your Holy Spirit. Lots of things going on around us, snow falling off the roof, new lights all over the place, and snow everywhere. Just for a few moments, we just focus our minds and our thoughts on this thing that we're talking about, the power of prayer. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The story is told of a small town that had two churches and one whiskey distillery. The members of both churches claimed that the distillery gave the community a bad image. To make matters worse, the owner of the distillery was an outspoken atheist. The church folks had tried unsuccessfully to shut down the distillery, and they decided to hold a combined prayer meeting You know, things are bad when two churches come together and have a prayer meeting. They decided to have a combined prayer meeting on Saturday night to ask God to intervene and settle the matter once and for all. Well, the people met on Saturday night, and all through the prayer meeting, a terrible thunder and lightning storm was going on. Then it's said that a lightning bolt hit the distillery and burned it down. The next morning, the sermon in the two churches was on the power of prayer. Insurance adjusters told the distillery that they wouldn't pay for the damages because the fire was caused by an act of God, and that wasn't included in their insurance policy. The distillery owner was furious and decided to sue both churches, claiming they had conspired with God to destroy the building and his business. In response, the churches denied they had anything to do with the cause of the fire. Well, in court, the judge who presided over the case opened the trial with these words: "I find one thing in this case most confusing. We have a situation where the plaintiff, who is an atheist, is professing his belief in the power of prayer, and the defendant, who's made up of church members, denying the very same thing. Maybe illustrative. Somebody thought of that. And maybe, just maybe, a little story like that might cause us to ask, do you really believe that God is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God? Well, the answer is, oh, yes, of course I believe that. Or, Is it possible that we don't think that God maybe uses his power the way he did back in Bible times? Do we really believe that God is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God? Or is it possible that we don't think that God uses his power the way he did back in Bible times? Is it possible that we've become too self-sufficient, and maybe even unintentionally, I'm just throwing it out there, think that there are many situations in which we don't need to come to God as much today? I mean, if we get sick, it's the first thing you do. You call the doctor, or you go to emergency, or you self-diagnose online. If something happens in our property, whatever it is, gets damaged, what do? You call the insurance guys, you fill out an insurance claim. I mean, if you need food, give us this day our daily bread. Just go to the store. Get your own food. If we run out of money in the bank, well, you got plastic. You use that. If we're having relational difficulties, you go to a counselor. They'll fix it for you. So I just wonder, with some of these things and so much more, do we really need to believe in the power of prayer? Do we really need to believe that much in the power of prayer? Now, I trust here this morning that we know we need him. I trust that every one of us here this morning knows that we need him. Each week we gather here, we sing songs, or wherever you gather, we sing songs of praise and worship to him. We consider his word together, and we pray believing in the power and importance of prayer. I hope. I trust. Now, one of the things I want to say this morning is that when we say the power of prayer, I trust we all realize that the power of prayer lies in the one to whom we pray. The power of prayer lies in the one to whom we pray. It's God who makes things happen, sometimes because we pray, but always because it's his will. If a person isn't directing their words to God, they can pray using the most powerful emotions and words they can think of, but there's no power in that. The power of prayer lies in the one to whom we pray. He then decides how he will respond, meaning my prayer may or may not be answered the way I want. We pray because we believe in the power of God. We believe that he is an all-powerful God, the all-powerful God of the Bible, who has not put his power on hold. And so if we're going to talk about the power of prayer, the first thing we need to appreciate is the awesomeness of God. Then we can properly consider two things today that the Bible teaches about prayer. First, that prayer can make a difference in what God does, and prayer can have an effect on our circumstances. Just as a parent responds to their child, when that child asks a question, so God does to his children. If you've invited Jesus into your life and are a Christ follower, you are a child of God. And he is the perfect parent as well as the powerful creator. And the Bible teaches that prayer can make a difference in what God does. For example, you might be familiar with the biblical story of when God brought his people out of Egypt. That's a pretty big one, right? Most of us know that one. He brought his people out of Egypt through a series of great miracles. Movies have been made about it. And then after passing through the Red Sea, they stopped at Mount Sinai. That's where Moses was up on the mountain, you know, having a long talk with God and receiving the Ten Commandments. Well, the people are down here. Moses up there talking, well, I don't know how long it was, but the people got impatient. Yeah, when's he coming back? What's going on? Even to the point that they basically took off their jewelry, melted it down, poured the liquid gold into a mold shaped like a calf, and guess what they got? A golden calf. And here's what they did. They worshipped that golden calf. Imagine taking your ring off, melting it down, making a little something, worshipping it. That sounds like ridiculous. But they worshipped that calf. They sang hymns to that calf. They brought offerings. And here's what they said. They said that calf was the God who brought them out of Egypt. Totally lost their mind. They said that calf was the God who brought them. God was not pleased. God was not pleased. In fact, he said to Moses in Exodus chapter 32, I have seen these people and they are a stiff-necked people. He's being very kind here. He says, now, Moses, leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. That's how upset he was. But even though God told Moses to leave him alone, Moses begins, if you read that account, to beg God not to destroy his people. He kept begging God to spare the people. And in Exodus 32:14 tells us, then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. See, God listened to Moses' petition and plea, his prayer, and God changed his course of action. Well, then there's a story in the Bible of a guy named Hezekiah. He was a king. King Hezekiah, God told Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah, he says, get your things in order because you're going to die. Get things prepared, get your life prepared in order because you're going to die. In that little account, we read that Hezekiah, after hearing that, he gets on his knees and he calls out to God and he genuinely prayed. And before Isaiah even got off the palace grounds, God told Isaiah to go back inside and tell the king, I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. I will add 15 years to your life and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. Wow. In Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 7 and 8, God says, if at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. While God will never change his goal, which I believe is for all people to come to him, all people to serve him and worship him, while God will never change his goal, he can and will change some things in response to the prayers of his people. He has that right and has demonstrated that many times in the Bible. And so we can say that the power of prayer is not that it makes God do anything or not do something, but the power is that God has said, that God has allowed for his change of action when he sees that people have genuinely come to him or repented of something before him. prayer can make a difference in what God does, which means the second thing. Prayer can have an effect on our circumstances. Prayer can have an effect on our circumstances because we're talking to the one who has all the power yesterday, today, and forever. In fact, in Genesis 18:14, in regard to Abraham and Sarah having a baby in their old age, we read, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Apparently not. When God was going to fill a valley full of water without any rain or wind, we read that the prophet Elisha was told this: "This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord." The angel who appeared to Mary when Mary said, "How will this be?" He said to her, "Nothing is impossible with God." Jesus said in Matthew 19:26, "With God, all things are possible." So if God, an angel, the prophets, and Jesus speak of the awesome power of God, then we who are Christians ought to speak of it too and pray in the knowledge that nothing is impossible with God. The disciples once asked each other about Jesus. They said, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." You know, what's interesting is that we humans are the only part of creation that God has given the freedom to listen to him and then decide whether or not to obey. We get to choose. We're the only thing in creation that gets to do that. Nothing else has the option. It's the reason God could say to the Red Sea, "Open up," and the Red Sea opened up. When Jesus commanded the fig tree to dry up, it didn't have a committee meeting with other fig trees to see what to do. Anytime that God speaks to nature, nature has no option but to obey. In the Old Testament, Joshua was involved in a battle, and daylight was running out before the battle was over. And so we read that Joshua prayed for more daylight, and the Bible says that God caused the sun to stand still. I don't know if you remember the story of Daniel when he was thrown into the lion's den. It says the lions were starving, but when Daniel shows up in there, we read that God closed their mouths. Remember when Jonah, the story of Jonah, was thrown overboard in the storm? He said, "Toss me over, this is all my fault." The Bible says that God provided a great fish to swallow him. The fish didn't have an option but to obey. And Jonah was in that fish for 3 days and three nights. I'm sure he tried every way to get out that he could, but nothing worked. And Jonah finally realizes that he's not getting out and he's in a crisis, and he starts to pray. And as soon as Jonah finished praying, we read, "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." It wasn't pretty, but the fish vomited Jonah onto dry land. The point is, prayer has power to affect our circumstances because we are talking to the one who has all the power. And it is he who answers those prayers. Again, not necessarily always the way that I want, or not always the way in which we pray, but what about today then? Does God really continue to hear our prayers and intervene in our lives? I truly believe that he does. In fact, I believe that there are some of you here today that have experienced that firsthand. Many people have seen God's intervention in their lives firsthand. Again, that doesn't mean that God will always answer yes to our prayers. Many of us have experienced the no answers. And we need to be oh so careful that we don't begin to think that we can order God around with our prayers. Jeremiah, the prophet in the Old Testament, said, "Who has spoken and it came to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? Who has spoken and it came to pass unless the Lord has commanded it?" You see, God listens carefully to our prayers, our intercessions, our agonies, our heartaches. But he will not allow us to tell him what he has to do. And so how do we understand it when we pray for someone to be healed and that person dies? Doesn't mean that God loves some more and some less, or that God respects some and not others. In fact, the only real help that we get in understanding those things are maybe found in scriptures like Psalm 103, which says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. With that great love, he also says in Isaiah, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so our trust in the wisdom and power of God continues, not because we always get our way, but because we believe in the way of God. You see, to pray is to tap into God's power. That's where the power of prayer comes from. And here's one other thing I just wanted to mention this morning when it comes to power in prayer. James tells us in James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You want to know power and effectiveness in your prayers? You want to live an impactful and effective life? Work on living a life of righteousness. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Last week, we noted the meaning of righteousness. The word righteousness means a right standing. We use that for our purposes, a right standing. To be righteous means to be in a right standing with God. A righteous person is morally upright, acts according to God's word and God's will. And God calls his people to righteous living. It's not just sort of about, wouldn't that be nice? God calls us to live lives of righteousness. Effective and powerful prayer only comes when we walk humbly in relationship with God, when we live lives of righteousness. Not perfection. That's not going to happen. That would be just self-defeating. But when we live lives of righteousness, when we work on living lives of righteousness, when we're continually drawing closer to God, when we're walking with him. Back to our verses we first read today in Ephesians. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. According to his power that is at work within us. We can imagine some pretty great things. But we pray to, we serve God who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is already at work within us. That is the power of prayer. It's the power of God. It's tapping into him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can possibly ask or imagine. How do I do that? How do I tap into that kind of thing? Well, we've been talking about it over these weeks. There was a sheet in our first week that had the Lord's Prayer and some suggestions along beside that. I think there might be some copies still out here. Stop and pick one up. If you're going like, yeah, I pray, but you know, I kind of want my prayer to be a little more, I don't know, I want it to be a little more effective. Well, take a look at that. Last week we suggested taking 2 minutes at the beginning of your prayer and just giving thanks. Just take 2 minutes sometime and just give God thanks for all that he has done, for the things that you can think of. Just name them. Doesn't matter if it's your clothes, your food, your car. Just name them. Give God thanks. It'll change the way you approach him, the way that you approach him in the times of prayer. It's amazing what that does. Recall his blessings and the way God has moved in your life and circumstances. Maybe do one thing this week to live a righteous. Do one thing, I was going to say, to live in a righteous standing before God, but do one thing. I can't do righteousness. It's not really fair to say, I guess, to say to you, do one thing to live in righteous. You see, the Bible tells me that God is the one who does that. So I can't live righteously. It's God's power living, working through me. God's power that's already at work in us. Maybe that's it. Maybe we ask God that through his power that is already at work in us to do something in us this week that moves us closer to living a life of righteousness. I don't know, maybe that's giving up a habit, maybe that's watching your mouth, maybe that's being careful what you watch in practical terms, maybe it's being careful who you do what with. I don't know. It's different for all of us. But maybe this week we could ask God, or do something this week through the power of God that is at work in you, to live in righteous standing before God. He will do that for you, because He is the one who changes hearts. He is the one who changes minds. He's the one that does that work in our hearts. There's a little song that I remember singing called "Change My Heart, O God." Anybody ever hear "Change My Heart, O God"? Make it ever new. Change my heart, O God. Yeah. Jen, hi. Do you think we could just sing that little song together? We're just going to do it like a cappella, right? So I think I know the words, but if you know the words, maybe you could help me. Y'all will know the words. This is just a little song about the power of God that we can experience through prayer that changes our hearts. Can you start me on a reasonable note? Oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Heed my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. God, this is where we find the power in prayer, is that you are the one who is all powerful. You are the one that can change our hearts, that can change our lives, that you can cause us to live in a right standing, in a righteous standing before you, because the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective, because you are powerful and you are effective. And so God, I just pray that you would somehow through this week, that you would just create in us a clean heart. Father, that you would create in us a desire to just walk closer with you. I ask these things today in Jesus' precious name, and I ask that you would go with us even as we're dismissed this morning. In your precious name, amen, amen. God bless you as you go this morning. That was our closing song. You can sing it on the way out today. And just let me encourage you, if you'd like to, again, just stop by our welcome booth. That'd be awesome. Next week is our potluck lunch. Have a conversation with someone before you go today. All right? God bless you as you go.